Hello, everyone, and welcome to Junior Pasha Hour together today.
Yoshua is not here today, so we have a substitute, Shmuel, and my name is Yehuda.
So we're going to start with the rundown. Go.
Number one, if Eretz Yisrael is only an 11-day journey by foot from Mitzrayim, why did it take the Bnei Yisrael 40 years to get there?
How could American currency have helped the Meraglim on their tour of Eretz Yisrael?
Why did the Meraglim speak negatively about the wonderful and beautiful land of Eretz Yisrael?
Why didn't the giants in Eretz Yisrael notice the Meraglim when they entered the Holy Land?
How big were the fruits of Eretz Yisrael back then?
Why did the Bnei Yisrael want to send spies if they had the clouds of glory and the Aron HaKodesh to lead them to and eliminate any dangers from their way?
Which Shevet didn't send a representative to spy out Eretz Yisrael?
Why did Moshe pray for Yoshua more than for any of the other messengers?
Who did the Bnei Yisrael throw stones at?
How did Caleb quickly quiet the Bnei Yisrael from their complaining about the Holy Land, Eretz Yisrael?
What will happen to someone who cries and complains for no good reason?
How many strings are on a corner of a tzitzit?
From whom did those giants in Israel descend?
How loyal to Moshe Rabbeinu leadership did Caleb say everyone ought to be? Okay, the number to call in to answer questions is 718-683-5858. And if you win a prize, then text your name and number to 347-927-8398.
Again, the number to call in is 718-683-5858. 718-683-5858.
Okay.
din oy kedai shairi sudit loisu le vavor khul va be khad bu bin hiri de ya
Okay, welcome back to the Junior Pasha Hour. We're now going to go back to the phone calls. Let's take the first caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, hi.
My name is Shwarazi.
Yes, hi. Would you like a question?
Yes.
Okay.
What Chevet didn't send a representative to spy out El Tisayo?
What?
Which Shevet didn't send a representative to spy out Eretz Yisrael?
Shevet Levi.
Yes, that is the correct answer. Text your name and phone number to 347-927-8398.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Yeah, what is your name?
Shmuley Gottlieb.
Okay. How many strings are on a corner of... How many strings are on the corner of a baguette of tzitzit?
Eight.
That is in the incorrect answer. Call again, we have the right answer. Thank you for calling. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Can I answer the question, who did B'nai Yisrael stone?
Yes.
Amalek?
No, that is the incorrect answer. Text, thank you for calling.
Hello, you're on there.
Who did B'nai Yisrael throw stones at?
Yes.
Kalei Van Yerushua.
That is the correct answer. Text your name and number to 347-927-8398. Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Hello, you're on there. Hello, you're on there.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, and I'm calling back. The answer's 4.
Yes, that is the correct answer. Text your name and number to 347-927-8398.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling. All right, so we have a story now for the Junior Parsha Hour. There was a rabbi who used to go every Erev Rosh Hashanah to the cemetery to visit his father in a cemetery. A week before Rosh Hashanah, He happened to be by a family simcha, and on the way back going home, he passed by the same cemetery where his father was buried. So he told his wife, why not we have this opportunity to go now instead of going Erev Rosh Hashanah? So he made his way to the cemetery. As he went in, he noticed a group of 9 bachurim with a black jacket and a white shirt just standing in front of a coffin. He approached them and asked them, why are you just standing? Bury the man that is in the coffin. They replied, this is our father. We do not have a minyan to bury this man, our father. So the rabbi was like, perfect. I'm your 10th man. Let's go. Let's bury him. They replied to the rabbi that we're in a suit and jacket and we don't want to dirty our clothes and bury this man, our father. The rabbi replied to them and asked, aren't you willing to do the last kivud out for your father? It doesn't matter what would happen to you. Bury your father. Rabbi, no, Rabbi. The guy over there in the tractor is going to do it for us. The rabbi was like, this is not kavod emet. They don't want to do it. I'm going to do it. So the rabbi went ahead and he dug up the grave. He put him in. He was like, come on, put some dirt. Rabbi, we don't want to dirty ourselves. He did basically the whole job by himself. The tractor then came to do the finishing parts and whatever they needed to do for the finishing. And he told the rabbi, the only thing left to really do is put the name card into the cement, into the dirt. So the rabbi took the name card, put it in. But when he put the name card into the grave, he noticed a name on it. The name Simon Pollock. He thought to himself, where do I know this name from? Okay, he visited his father at his cavity, prayed, and he went on his way home. When he got to shul, he related the story of what happened and how Hashem made him get there to do that mitzvah. He related the story to a couple family members, how he made them say Kaddish, he helped them. He related the story. One of the guys that he related to the story to told him the following. When you were a young bachur in Poland, there was in the shuls, they used to bring all the kids that wanted to go to yeshiva, and they used to line them up in front of the shul. And they used to say, who wants to sponsor this guy to go to yeshiva? Who wants to sponsor this guy to go to yeshiva? When it came to your name, said this man in the shul, Simon Pollock was the one that dedicated you to yeshiva. The man said to himself, wow, Hashkacha Peratit, that Hashem, he's the one that made me go to yeshiva and made me become a mensch, and Hashem made me that I was able to be in the same place to give him my last kavod of having him met me to a perfect burial. That is the story. See from here how Hashem puts everything in Hashkacha Beratit and he arranges the world, and how whatever you do for someone, Hashem's going to make you pay him back. Now, if anyone wants to answer any questions from this week's parasha, you could call in at 718-683-5858. 718-683-5858. Right now, there's no callers, so we'll be taking a short music break until there are any more callers. Thank you very much.
שעושו ניסים לבויסנו ביומים אוהים, ביומים אוהים בזמן הזה מי שעושו ניסים לבויסנו ביומים אוהים, ביומים אוהים בזמן הזה מי שעושו ניסים לבויסנו ביומים אוהים, ביומים אוהים בזמן הזה מי שעושו ניסים לבויסנו ביומים אוהים, ביומים אוהים בזמן הזה Via la gurois, via la chu
ביומי מוהים, ביומי מוהים, ביומי מוהים, ביומי מוהים, בזמן הזה. לבוסנו ביומים מוהים ביומים מוהים בזמן הזה אישהו סוניסים לבוסנו ביומים מוהים ביומים מוהים בזמן הזה בזמן 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 הזה בזמן 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 הזה בזמן 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 הזה בזמן הזה בזמן 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 הזה בזמן 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 הזה בזמן 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 הזה בזמן הזה ניסים לבוסנו ביומים מוהים ביומים מוהים בזמן הזה מי שעושה ניסים לבוסנו ביומים מוהים ביומים מוהים בזמן הזה בזמן 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 הזה בזמן 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 הזה בזמן 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 הזה בזמן הזה בזמן 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 הזה בזמן 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 הזה
Welcome everybody back to Junior Parsha Hour. We'll take now our first caller. Hello, you're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. What is your name? Hello, you're on the air. What is your name?
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Shorazi.
Yeah, hi. Okay, fine. Why did the Meraglim speak negatively about the wonderful and beautiful land of Eretz Yisrael?
Because they got scared about the huge fruit and the giants that they're going to kill them out.
Okay, thank you. That is the right answer. Text your name and number to 347-927-8398. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Hello. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, can I answer the question? If a child is 11...
Yes.
The question. Because B'nai Israel, they went through the Midbar first.
No, that is the incorrect answer. Text your name and number... call back when you have the right answer. Thank you for calling. All right, so since we're short on calls, we're going to have a Dvar Torah right now. To show us that anything Hashem gives you, you should be satisfied. Like the Meraglim, they didn't know better. They went and spied on the land of Eretz Yisrael. It says in Pirkei Avot, three people that are eating at a table, and they didn't say Dvar Torah at the table. It's like Goy ate from the Mizbeach. So right away, the Rabbeinu Bar Tanura comments and says that not everyone will have a Dvar Torah. So what do you do if you don't have a Dvar Torah? Then Birkat HaMazon is like a Dvar Torah. So now, there's a famous question that, how in the world is Birkat HaMazon like a Dvar Torah? What in Birkat HaMazon is like a Dvar Torah? How? So, the answer is brought like this. It's brought from two words in the Birkat HaMazon. V'achalta v'savata. You should eat and be satisfied. How in the world is this a Dvar Torah? So it's like this. V'achalta v'savata. He ate and satisfied. everything Hashem gives you, you should be satisfied. The person got food and he's satisfied. You should be satisfied. Everything in this world that Hashem gives you, you should be satisfied. Even though you think, oh yeah, that guy has this, that guy has that. Everything Hashem gives you, you should be satisfied. Don't go, oh yeah, spine line. Everything Hashem puts you, every position Hashem puts you, you should be satisfied with and thank Hashem for whatever you have. We're going to have now a short music break. Thank you everybody for calling.
רבות אברהם הזה בדרך, ואני הולך עם ראש למעלה, כל אחד הוא בן או בת של מלך. ככה היה, וככה זה גם עלה, יהודי עם נשמה בוערת. בכל מקום ובכל ארץ, לא רוצה שיהיה אחרת. יהודי אני, זה משהו נצחי. בני אברהם, יצחק ויעקב, בני ישראל, רבקה, רחל ולאה. History I've been through. Ask me where I'm from and I will tell you. I'm a Jew and every Jew's a proud Jew. Not just me, my sisters and my brothers. Never be ashamed to be a proud Jew. It's not what you've done, it's how he made you. So sing this song and spread the pride around you. Yehudi ani, eternally.
Hey Abraham, Yitzchak v'Yaakov, v'nei Sara Rivka Rachel v'Lea. Hey Abraham, Yitzchak v'Yaakov, v'nei Sara Rivka.
Turkey was rushing about finishing last-minute preparations for Shabbat. The Jewish quarter swarmed with people hurrying home, but one person was headed elsewhere, towards the center of town. It was the rabbi himself, Rav Avram Shlomo HaKohen. his blood with a sack of coins that jingled as he sped through the streets. He was on his way to the prison. Each Friday he would deposit the large sum, which he had procured as bail so that the warden would release the Jewish prisoners over Shabbat. There was a risk. A prisoner would taste the sweetness of freedom and decide not to return, and the rabbi would forfeit the bail. It had already happened, and who could blame the poor prisoner who wished to return to a damp, cold cell among the cockroaches and rats? And yet, even though he occasionally lost the bail deposit, Avraham Shalom never failed his prisoners. Week in, week out, he came, always bringing the security. Once, however, he was unable to gather up the sum he needed for all of the prisoners. And then he presented himself a hostage, offering to be locked up in prison over Shabbat so that all the prisoners could return home for their day of rest. The prison authorities agreed to the exchange. The prisoners were released, and Rabbi Avraham Shalom was locked up in their stead. This act of kindness soon became known and caused an uproar in the Jewish Izmir community. The members of the congregation quickly made a collection, and before the arrival of Shabbat, succeeded in raising the required sum. Quickly, they hurried to the jailhouse and freed their beloved rabbi.
Hello, you are on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Did you have a question?
Yes. Why did the Men HaGlim speak negatively about the wonderful and beautiful land of Eretz Yisrael?
What?
Why did the Men HaGlim speak negatively about the wonderful and beautiful land of Eretz Yisrael?
Because they were scared of the giants and their huge fruits, that they might kill them.
Nope.
No, that is the incorrect answer. Please text me. Please call back when you have the right answer. All right, so now we're going to have all the answers from all this week's questions.
If Eretz Yisrael was only an 11-day journey by foot from the time, why did it take the Bnei Yisrael 40 years to get there?
It took the Bnei Yisrael 40 days as a punishment for Lashon Hara and complaining. Years. 40 years.
How could American currency have helped the Bnei HaGlim on their tour of Eretz Yisrael?
The Bnei HaGlim needed better emunah in Hashem, and it says on the dollar bill, "In God we trust."
Why did the Bnei HaGlim speak negatively about the wonderful and beautiful land of Eretz Yisrael?
They knew that they would select new rulers when they get to Eretz Yisrael, and they made up that they didn't like the land so they don't lose their jobs and as a position.
Why didn't the giants in Eretz Yisrael notice the Bnei HaGlim when they entered Eretz Yisrael?
Because they were dying.
How big were the fruits of Eretz Yisrael back then?
Massive. 8 people carried the grapes. And the grapes, each grape piece were as big as a watermelon, about. And some of the things were bigger than tables.
Why did Bnei Yisrael want to send spies if they had the clouds of glory and the Aron Kol that should lead them and eliminate any dangers from their way?
They thought that they had to be on a high level to enter, so they didn't really have that much bitachon in Hashem.
Which Shevet didn't send their representatives to spy out Israel?
The Shevet?
Shevet Levi. Where did Caleb ben Yefuneh run to pray for success in his mission?
Me'arat HaMachpelah.
Why did Moshe pray for Yeshua more than for any of the other messengers?
Because a Rebbe is supposed to pray for his student more than anyone else. He cares for his students.
Who did the Bnei Israel throw stones at?
They threw stones at Yoshua and Caleb. Some opinions say Moshe Rabbeinu.
What will happen to someone who cries and complains for no good reason?
If you cry or complain for no good reason, Hashem will give you a reason to cry or complain, and Hashem made them Tisha B'Av. Okay, thank you everybody
for
calling. Thank you everybody for listening to us, and
call. Please see you next
week. Call next week. Tune in. Thank you very much.